This is Express FM.
Supported by Highbury College. We are passionately Pompey.
Whipped in towards the near post. Header from Naylor. And Tom Naylor scores the first goal of the Danny Cowley era.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
It's a club with unbelievable football traditions. A real football city. We feel really proud and privileged to be here.
Action and reaction.
We've all seen last minute runs. We have to keep the faith.
Time for a fresh start. I think we can do it.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
No one should ever step onto this island and control a game at Fratton Park. That's the philosophy that many Pompey fans want.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
More pain for Pompey as their playoff destiny is taken out of their hands.
Trying to take on Daniels, goes round and goes to the ground, and it's a penalty. Fraser steps forward, left-footed, and scores, sending McGilvery the wrong way.
The Blues fell to a 1-0 defeat at the weekend, making it three games without a win for Danny Cowley's side. Later on, we'll hear the thoughts of the head coach ahead of another crucial game. He speaks about Pompey's steady progression, despite results not reflecting their hard work.
We're a new group that's come together. We're playing in a different way than what the players have played before. And when you do have a new game idea, you know, it takes time to develop and to master. And we're in that process now, but we're enjoying it. We feel really positive about what is to come.
We've got so much to talk about tonight, including a review of Saturday's defeat at Stadium MK. We'll have a chat with United Services of Portsmouth manager Glenn Turnbull. We'll talk about the breaking news from this weekend regarding the European Super League, discuss the big news coming out of the Pompey Academy today, and look ahead to tomorrow's trip to Swindon. So kick back and get ready for 60 minutes of passionate football discussion. This is Express FM, and you're listening to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to another instalment of the Football Hour, driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Head to stagecoachbus.com for more information on fares, routes, timetables and the latest COVID guidelines. On tonight's show, as you've just heard, we've got an absolute barrel to get through. And as always, we want to hear the thoughts of you back home, the Pompey fans. 81400 is the number to text if you want to get involved tonight, starting your messages with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or go to facebook.com/Pompey Live. But before we get into any of that this evening, we're not going to start with the highlights of Saturday. We're first of all going to speak to the manager of the United Services of Portsmouth. Glenn Turnbull joins us over the phone lines this evening. Glenn, thank you so much for calling in. It is an absolute pleasure to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
So a big win for your boys on Saturday, Glenn. Talk us through it. Tavistock beaten at the weekend, and that leaves you now, what, three games away from Wembley? A superb achievement.
Christchurch on Saturday. We've got Tavistock this week coming up.
That's the one.
But, Christchurch have got fantastic pedigree for this season. They've done really well in the FA Cup. They've also got through to the last 32 of the Vars, I think, last year as well as this. So they've got absolutely fantastic pedigree. They've just been promoted from the... Or they've been offered the opportunity to go from Wessex Premier into the Southern League. So they have the best points per game record. So it was a really difficult game. Started off bright. We went 1-0 up after about 20 minutes. Franco scoring again. And then it was kind of back to the wall for the remainder of the game. Without necessarily our keeper getting his hands stung too much, Pricey. They scored 10, 15 minutes into the second half, I suppose. And then it was literally just half hour of defending. I think Barto Meyer, one of the coaches, said the signing on fee for Christchurch must be a neck brace if you play in midfield. It just went straight over the top of their heads. But so the back five did really well. Pricey did really well to stay resolute against that. Mm. And then we won on penalties.
Yeah, fantastic achievement, as we say. And that's, well, three Vars wins away from Wembley now, Glenn. You've had six cup upsets this season and no cup defeats at all throughout the entire campaign. I know it's been, you know, quite a mixed season with everything that's going on regarding COVID and all the lockdowns and all the restrictions in place. It's been a very chop and change campaign. But that's nine wins in a row for your team now. and you've even applied for promotion to the division above. So it's an exciting time to be, you know, a supporter of non-league football around Portsmouth, in particular the United Services.
Yeah, it was one of the aspirations we had when we took the first team job on, was to try and grow the profile of the club. I think we've done that. In the second half, we had Christchurch have got a relationship with a streaming company, and they asked if they could stream the game. There was over 1,100 fans watching the game in the second half and watched the penalty shootout. We had some supporters. We've got some international supporters. We've got Dan in Italy who watched the games. I had family in Switzerland who were watching it, so that was fantastic for us. So to have a reach for United Services, just off of Portsea Island, is good, but to be going internationally is fantastic.
Yeah. And what would it mean as a manager if you were to get there? I know there are still three tough games to come, Glenn, but if you were to get to Wembley, the national stadium, the home of football, what would it mean to you to be able to manage and lead your side out there?
It would mean everything, really. It would be it's a dream come true. It's a dream come true for the lads. I think you've again got to only look at the footage on Twitter and everything. They were all singing, "We're the famous USP. We're going to Wembley," and it would be the dream for all of us, really.
Yeah. Now, of course, at the end of the season, you are leaving United Services and you're going to Moneyfield just down the road. Another great opportunity for you as you, you know, look to progress your managerial kind of career around Portsmouth. But, you know, to kind of bow out at United Services after many years of service to the club, that would be kind of the most special way to do so, even if you weren't to get to Wembley. But if you were to continue this cup run, make the city proud, make your team proud, make yourselves proud as a team, that would be the perfect way
definitely.
To go.
When we took the job, we set out to get promotion. We've achieved that. We feel, albeit through the points per game route, but last year we were 11 points clear with 7 games to go, and that was, I think, we were 19 clear of the next promotion spot. So we were all but guaranteed promotion. This year, post the lockdown in, I think, October, we'd built up a real head of steam again. We propelled ourselves. We were unbeaten for 11 games, I think, which culminated on the last game before lockdown, which was the Vars. As you said, a lot of those were cup games. We've been fortunate enough to have a lot of cup football as well. But then to bow out what we're doing now in the cup run, we've got the semi-final of the Wessex Cup as well against Bemerton. So it's still a little bit of water to go under the bridge yet before we worry about Moneyfields.
Yeah. Glenn, thank you ever so much for joining me tonight. It's been fantastic to talk to you. Wishing you all the best for the rest of the season. Bring those trophies home. Bring as many as you can. Go on, make the city proud. We know you can do it, mate. Thanks for calling in. We'll chat to you again soon.
Thanks ever so much. Take
Cheers,
care,
Glenn.
Cheers,
Glenn. Have a great week, mate. Cheers. That was Glenn Turnbull, the manager of United Services of Portsmouth, who beat Christchurch at the weekend in the FA Vars. Now 3 games away from Wembley, they take on Tavistock in the next round in the weeks to come. OK, let's move on to the Pompey discussion then. Let's carry on with what we are really here for, that is the Blues. And they travelled to the Stadium MK at the weekend to take on a Milton Keynes side who were in a mixed bag of form, but Pompey themselves had gone 2 games without a win. They were looking to pile the pressure on their promotion rivals in the top 6 and trying to keep a place within the playoff spots. Your commentary team at Stadium MK was Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey. Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's scored!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
So we're ready to get underway in League One. Portsmouth are all in orange. They'll go from left to right as we look at things from the west stand. MK Dons in their all-white kit go from right to left. Halfway through the Danny Cowley reign, the first half has been pretty good. The second half is underway. Sent long by Fisher towards Grigg. Chest it down nicely for Sermon. Might be space on the right-hand side. Laird trying to get away from Daniels. He's one-on-one with him just outside the penalty area. Step over from Laird. Cuts inside. Lays it to the edge of the box to O'Reilly. To Sermon. To O'Reilly. Left-footed shot. Off the post. Pompey survive. Sorinola in the penalty area. Lays it back. Another shot. And it is just over the bar from Sermon. 2 tight efforts. Still 0-0. Danger here as O'Reilly's coming forward for the Dons. Lays it off. Laird in the penalty area. All kinds of space. Pulls it back across the face of goal. And it's not ended up in the back of the net. Harness goes down the right-hand side looking for Ryan Williams. Williams, if he looks inside, he'll see Marquis. Marquis, and if he can look across to find Curtis, it's a great chance for Curtis. First-time effort, wide of the post. Best opportunity Pompey have had by some distance. Wide, still 0-0. Front take on Daniels, goes round and goes to the ground. And it's a penalty. And the penalty's been awarded, and Scott Fraser is going to take it for MK Dons. Fraser stood on the edge of the area, skips to his right, steps forward left-footed and scores, sending McGilvery the wrong way. And it's the Dons who have broken the deadlock 4 minutes before half-time. MK Dons 1, Portsmouth 0. And Naylor goes down the right. Good run from Naylor. He's got Curtis and Marquis to aim for. Naylor across the face of goal. Will it come to Curtis? It's deflected and put behind for a corner kick to Portsmouth. Chip towards the far post. Header from Naylor off the bar and cleared away by MK Dons. Shot comes in. He's blocked. It's going to come back to Daniels. And Naylor inches away from his ninth of the season. And both teams have hit the bar in the opening 3 minutes. It's still 1-0 to MK Dons. Cannon's going to be forced back to Watmore on halfway. Can they create an opening? Oh, that's poor from Watmore. He then flies into a challenge. Watmore needs to be careful. MK Dons crying out, it should be a red. Well, it's definitely going to be a card. Is it going to be a red one? Referee's having a long conversation with Watmore. He's giving himself some thinking time. Now he reaches to his pocket. It's a red card. Jack Watmore has been sent off and will now miss the next four games, of course, because this is his second red card of the season as Pompey win it through Cannon. But winning it is the final action of this game here at Stadium MK, as Cannon and Lewington share a few words and have to be pulled apart. It's got all a bit silly. But the end result is that Portsmouth have lost by a goal to nil.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there from Pompey's 1-0 defeat at Stadium MK at the weekend. A third game without a win for the Blues, who drop out of the playoffs and down into seventh after Oxford scored a 93rd minute winner to beat Gillingham later that same evening. And joining me tonight to go over the events of that game, first and foremost, welcoming back Ben Chu. Ben, thanks for calling up this evening.
Good evening, mate. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Got a lot to get through this evening. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of fun delving into Saturday, looking forward to tomorrow's game, and we'll talk about the Super League a little later on. I'm sure that'll be fun. Alongside you, Ben, we have Adam Hillier. Adam, likewise, mate, great to have you back on.
Evening, Jake. Evening, everyone. Happy to be back on.
So let's go back to Saturday then, Ben. A third game without a win for Pompey after the defeat at home to Burton Albion last weekend. 0-0 draw with Crewe on Tuesday night and a 1-0 defeat at Stadium MK on Saturday. Pompey find themselves in quite the dip in form, now dropped out of the playoffs. But, you know, a lot of fans were calling for a change in management not too long ago. That change has happened. But is this something you can pin the blame down to the management? Because we've seen in recent weeks, but you know, the Cowley brothers, they've come in, they've implemented their style of football. We have seen improvements on the pitch. And I think even in the defeat on Saturday, the draw at Crewe in midweek, we have seen those improvements. It's just a case of we just haven't got the ball into the back of the net. We've not quite connected well too much in the final third. Do you think that's where Pompey are sort of lacking a little bit at the moment?
Yeah, I think it's obviously not been a great week for Pompey. It's been a tough one. There's the games that we probably should have won, really. Lots of chances. But yes, I think, like you say, they've come in, tried to bring this new style of play. I think you've got to give them time. But unfortunately, where they've come in, you know, inherited this sort of team, which you don't know if they were good enough this season to sort of go up. You know, I don't know. You have to sort of... Yeah, I think you've got to give him a chance. And then, obviously, if we don't go up this year, time to rebuild in the summer.
Yeah. And Adam, like we just said, you know, the Cowleys have come in. They've had a mammoth task on their hands already. Three games without a win is not going to do them the world of good, especially now with the position within the table. But, you know, if promotion isn't achieved this season, are you still happy to keep on with the Cowleys at the end of the season? If you can see, you know, perhaps a squad rebuild in the summer, give them a transfer window to work on and bring in who they want to bring in. Because we've seen the potential in these guys to actually change the feel around Fratton Park. These three results aren't going to change and undo any of that, are they?
Yeah, and let's be honest, this is not their squad, and yeah, there could be a thing to say that some of those players in there now, they may if they do stay past the end of the season, may have one eye of a clear out in the summer. You know, they've inherited a squad that has a lack of striking options at the minute with the various injuries around the squad as well. And, you know, this isn't, you know, it's not built in their image, and they're inheriting something and trying to build something out of what may be seen by some as a bad situation. So let's give them some time. I mean, the football that we've been playing is a lot better. You know, their chances are being created as well, and that is with, let's be honest, one recognised striker at the moment. Obviously, Alfie Stanley's been making a few appearances on the bench, but, you know, their chances are still being created. So it's not panic stations just yet. I do want to see a little bit more what they've got to offer come the summer and what their sort of recruitment process is going to be like. And we'll see how, maybe, you know, if we don't get promoted this year, let's see how it goes again next year. You know, we've got a fair chance, fresh management team, and let's just see how we go.
And one of the big talking points from Saturday, Ben, was the red card shown to Jack Watmore, his second of the season, his second in just a matter of months, actually. Straight red at Stadium MK, went over the ball. You can't really argue with it, can you? His studs were showing, two feet were up, and he absolutely clattered the MK player, and kind of deniably, the referee gave a red card. Is that something you can see being overturned? Because we have heard this afternoon the club are appealing it, but if we're being honest, is it going to be successful?
Yeah, I think for me, it's definitely a red card, like you just said. Yeah, I mean, it's worth a go, if you like, to try and get it overturned, but I don't see it happening personally. I think it's a bit of a dangerous challenge, but maybe one of those ones where it's late in the game and you're just frustrated more than anything, and you know, but still hard to understand why it happened.
Yeah. And back to Saturday, Adam, you know, we're not going to linger on it too much because we've got a game to preview tomorrow as well. We're going to hear the pre-match thoughts of Danny Cowley coming up very shortly as well. But, you know, Pompey had the chances, like they did at Gresley Road on Tuesday night, just not putting the ball into the back of the net. John Marquis in the first half had an overhead kick saved. It wasn't the most ferocious of shots when you look at it back, but quite an audacious attempt nonetheless. He had an effort from the halfway line and almost caught the keeper off of his line, off guard. MK themselves, they hit the post a couple of times in that first half before going ahead. So it wasn't a game necessarily where Pompey were dominated. It wasn't a game where Pompey couldn't have won. It was just the same story as Tuesday, as last Saturday. They just couldn't be clinical with the attempts that they had. And that's not something that you can pin on the managers, is it? That's something that as players you've got to look at yourselves and wonder what you've got to improve upon for the next game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for the players, there's a massive pressure on them as well. I think with the new management coming in, that they had to show a reaction and show that, you know, then this new direction is the way that they wanted the club to go while they're representing the Blue of Portsmouth. So, you know, they know the pressure they're under. They know that the pressure's there from the fans to go up. So it's not through the want of trying. I mean, if we're honest, MK Dons are about mid-table. You know, they've been better than they have been in previous seasons in League One recently. And, you know, they gave us they got the goal and they got the win. And that's just sometimes how we go. But looking ahead to Tuesday, we are playing bottom of the league. We are playing a team that we have already beaten this season. And I think the players will have that in the back of their mind that, you know, maybe they'll just give them a little bit more freedom to play without being so nervy. I don't know. A couple of poor results, it doesn't faze me too much because this is a transitional period at the club.
Yeah. OK, lads, we'll be back with you in just a few moments' time. But after the break, we'll move on to preview tomorrow's game at Swindon. And we'll also hear the pre-match thoughts of Danny Cowley, who highlights the areas his side have been working on in training.
We've worked on a couple of technical and tactical aspects from the game on Saturday. And we've worked really hard on our values and what we stand for as a group and our mentality and mindset. And I actually think some of the work we've done today has been really powerful. And I'm really looking forward to seeing a really good response tomorrow.
I'll be back with Ben and Adam very shortly for part two of tonight's show. This is the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour, brought to you by Stagecoach Across the South. Download their app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to plan and even pay for your next journey. We're going to take a few moments away now from the Pompey discussion to talk about a big, big issue which has arisen in the world of football in the last 24 hours. 12 clubs across Europe, including the so-called Big Six in England, have agreed to form a Super League, a new midweek competition to rival the UEFA Europa League and the Champions League as well. These six clubs in England include Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham Hotspur, Liverpool, Manchester United and Manchester City. And in the last 24 hours, we've learned that the FA, the Premier League have all taken action and they've threatened these clubs with banishing them from domestic competitions if they are to go ahead with these plans next season. We are hearing that it is supposed to start in August. Now, these six clubs, they don't want to break away from their domestic leagues. They want to resume playing in England. However, the implications of this new Super League, the money coming in to these clubs, and pretty much the way they have handled the entire situation is, if we're being honest, nothing less than an insult to every single other club in this country. Now, they want to call themselves the Big Six. They want to call themselves the Elite Dozen in Europe. But if you think back to the past 12 months, for example, Arsenal, who just a few months ago sacked 55 men and women, including their own club mascot, in the middle of a global pandemic because they were supposedly short of funds. Well, simultaneously, as we've learned, they've had meetings about the share of what we're hearing is £350 billion that these clubs are receiving for this new Super League. Now, I know you may think this has nothing to do with Pompey. However, we've also learned today that these clubs have also agreed to remove themselves from their memberships with UEFA, the European Footballing Committees. They are going to go ahead with this. So the Premier League, the FA, if they are true to their word, they will be kicking these clubs out of a domestic competition. So we could see a Premier League next season where these top six clubs are not involved. So this has huge implications on the Premier League and every single division below the Premier League in terms of promotion, relegation, funds that are fed down through from the top down through to the bottom. Now, I'm going to bring back Ben and Adam to talk about this. And Adam, we'll start with you because I know this is something that has infuriated you. It's infuriated me. It has completely infuriated every single football fan out there right now, including fans of these, you know, so-called top six. How damaging is this to the English game, not just the English game, but the entire world of football?
It's horrendous. I mean, if those of you who haven't seen it, go and watch Gary Neville's damning response to this last night on Sky. He summed it up perfectly. It is nothing but pure greed. I watched my football club nearly die a couple of years ago, and there was members of the of Portsmouth, of People Portsmouth, got together and put money of their own back to save our football club. While these teams, so-called Big Six, are taking the cream off the top and can perform stunts like this, it is a disgrace to English football. I don't really care for much of the teams in Spain. This affects England and this affects the English leagues. And I words can't describe how infuriated I've been watching this come in today. Some of the backhanded nature of this, you know, completely undermines the footballing system in this country. Part and parcel of looking forward and getting excited watching games is watching teams fighting for the top positions, fighting for the big four in the Premier League. You know, that is part and parcel of football. And to segregate it off into a NFL/NBA style league where there's no promotion, there's no relegation, it's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. It's nothing more than pure greed.
So many people upset by this, Ben, understandably so, as Adam's, you know, quite rightfully put there. It is nothing but pure greed from these top six clubs, and it's going to have huge, huge knock-on effects for every single club in this country. And when you think back to last season, the season prior, every single season, probably from the last 20, 30 years, you look back at clubs who have gone into financial trouble, administration, liquidation. You look at Bury, Macclesfield, Pompey as well, of course, Wigan, Bolton Wanderers, Blackpool, clubs who were so, so much in trouble. And, you know, we looked to these so-called big clubs with all their money and we asked for help and we never got any. And there were a lot of ethical arguments about why perhaps they should or shouldn't feed money down to the lower leagues. And it's been an ongoing debate for years about, you know, TV money, sponsorship money being fed down from the Premier League down, you know, not only to League Two, but non-league systems as well. But when you look at clubs like Macclesfield, who are wound up for, what, £500,000? Yet you see these top six clubs getting billions of pounds for joining this Super League. And in their statements, they are saying stuff like, you know, we're looking forward to welcoming new fans on board. This isn't about new fans. This isn't about broadening your horizons worldwide. You can do that anyway. But you've got to think about your supporters back home, the ones that have been loyal to you from the very start. You look at Sir Matt Busby, who has got a quote at Old Trafford. We saw it last night. Man United were playing at home to Burnley. The quote behind the goal saying football is nothing without fans. And we've learned that this season, more than any other season, that football really is nothing without fans. Yet the same club, Manchester United, are going to sign this deal to break away from the English domestic league for nothing but money. These aren't clubs that are thinking about their supporters. These are clubs that are only worried about putting money in their back pockets. It is an absolute disgrace, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly can't believe it. It infuriates me as much as you both.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, honestly, I can't believe that it's all happening. But reading it last night and seeing all of it, and it makes you really wonder, was all of this just, as I say, it's been happening for a while behind all of the stories, but you know, telling all these sort of clubs telling you that they miss the fans, that they can't wait to have them back, it makes you wonder, is that all just a lie? Is that really, that's not really how they feel, because they've shown their true colours with this, and that's clearly not the case.
Got a few tweets in to read out as well. Some fantastic tweets I've seen in the last 24 hours. Steve Claridge, of course, the former Pompey striker and manager. He says, to every steward at Spurs, every tea lady at Arsenal, every pensioner at Chelsea, for kit man and groundsman at Manchester City, to Bill Shankly and Sir Matt Busby, to every supporter of these clubs, you've been betrayed. Steve Claridge on Twitter last night following the news. Bradley Saunders, Pompey fan on Twitter. He says, personally think the Super League is the best thing to happen to football. Hopefully it will cause the implosion of this money bubble we seem to be in with just nonsensical greed in the game. Football will be able to reset wage caps and spending limits being introduced. And whilst this subject is, you know, it is not one we want to see, Adam, but you can actually get on board with what Bradley is saying. You know, these clubs breaking off, and with this huge scenario we are seeing unfold in front of us, could this be the kickstart to the Premier League, the FA, the Football League, you know, the government kind of getting together, banding together to ensure that A, this doesn't happen again, and B, we are trying to do more to secure the financial futures of the football clubs that actually care about their fans. Could this be the start of what we've been campaigning for many years now? Wage caps, spending limits, fit and proper tests in the EFL. Could this be the kickstart of that? It's not a great thing to happen, but could it be?
It could well be. And actually, you know, the only way that this is going to work is if the fans and everyone involved in football boycott it as much as possible, you know. Don't watch these games, don't get on board with it. And then down in where it really matters, down in, you know, the lower leagues of football, all the way down through all the steps, 7, 8, maybe a reset is finally needed. And maybe actually there needs to be a look at this and like, we need to make this fairer for everyone. Because at the minute, you know, the Premier League for some is absolutely unattainable. You only have to look at some of the ticket prices, for example, in the Premier League and look at the disparities there. You know, the working class man cannot afford to go and watch his team some games. And that is out of order. That's not right. Football for some is used as a way of getting away from the strains of everyday life. You know, it's a mental reset for a lot of people going to support their club and cheering on their favourite team. And maybe this is our way, or maybe this is the way of football resetting and starting again and having a bit more structure, because it's grown into this money orientated monster, and it is, you know, for me personally, I'd quite happily stay in the lowest leagues of football at the moment, because I wouldn't want to go anywhere near the top, because I'm worried that the same thing would happen to our football club again.
Just when you thought VAR would be the worst thing to happen to football, this happens. Dan Roan is a journalist from the BBC, looking at some of the points he's been talking about in the last 24 hours. One of these, which says, according to a source, some of these involved in this European Super League called traditional supporters of clubs legacy fans, while they are more focused instead on the fans of the future who want superstar names. And they insist that modelling shows solidarity payments will be boosted by €10 billion over 23 seasons. It's all about the money. they don't care. And looking at what has been proposed, what has been threatened to these clubs that are looking to branch out and join this European Super League, they have been threatened with not being able to return to the professional game if they do turn back on their word and want to rejoin the English football structure. They've been threatened with joining back at Tier 5, which is the National League. So if this does happen in the summer and the FA, the Premier League, the EFL, they stick to their word, which I think everyone is campaigning for, we all want to see it happen, they will be not allowed back into this football structure unless they start from the National League. Now, personally, I think they should start from the absolute bottom of English football if they want to rejoin, but the National League will be the division in which they will start if Manchester United, Tottenham, City, Arsenal, Liverpool and Chelsea want to rejoin the English camp, the English ladder. It's a phenomenal turn of events. And this has huge implications for Pompey and every other team in the Football League. Now, if it does happen, if these six clubs are kicked out of the Premier League, we could see no teams relegated from any division this season. We could see more sides promoted into the Premier League, into the Championship, into League One, into League Two, and so on and so forth. We just have no idea. Pompey could end up in the Championship next season whilst finishing fifth or sixth. We just don't know. So we're going to move away from it, lads, because I think we all need to calm down. I think everyone is absolutely fuming about this. But we're going to move on, and we're going to hear the pre-match thoughts of Danny Cowley now, who he's got a big game tomorrow, Swindon Town. This is proper football. Pompey versus Swindon in League One. Who cares about the Premier League? Pompey versus Swindon in League One. The game takes place tomorrow evening at the County Ground. It's a 6 o'clock kickoff, and Danny Cowley's been speaking to Max Swatton from the Pompey media team about Saturday's defeat and the work he has to do on the training ground and the excitement that comes with the challenges that he has ahead of him.
I think it's exciting. I think it's all to play for. Five really, really big games for the football club. We're disappointed with our points tally from the last three. I think you look at all three games and probably argue that it's fine margins in all games, and if in all three games I think we've got opportunities to win them. But probably the fact that we're talking about fine margins is probably the issue, because we want to get to a place for this football club where we're not talking about fine margins in League One, we're talking about big margins, and we're on the right side of those big margins. So that is definitely what we're trying to work towards. I think we've taken a lot of learning from the three games. We've had a good day today in preparation from Swindon. Spoke a lot around just our values and what we stand for as a group. And I thought we made big strides today in terms of our mentality and our mindset, which are two really, really important aspects if you want consistent performance. And we go into a Swindon game tomorrow with real anticipation and a lot of excitement.
Having had a day to reflect on the NK Dons game, what have you learned from that?
I think we learned from every game. I think we were pleased with aspects. We were certainly pleased with some of our counter-attack play. We created many chances, particularly in the first half on the counter-attack. We needed to be a bit more ruthless and clinical with our final action. I think we needed to improve in certain aspects. Sometimes when the counter-attack moment goes and maybe their defence gets back, then we've just got to be a little bit more patient and not force the play and just stay in their half. We've also got to squeeze up behind it. At times in the game got really open and kind of a basketball game where it's going end-to-end, and they kept countering our counter. That's because we didn't quite squeeze the back of our pitch behind the front boys. So that's definitely something to work on. I think we've still got aspects in our positional attack to work on to get more control in games. And yeah, there's definitely a lot of areas for us to keep working towards. But like we always say, I think the great thing for us is that we're developing by the day. We're learning about each other, and we're learning about the relationships and the partnerships. And when the problems do arise in games, these are good problems for us to find the solutions for. And I think the more challenges we have in that respect, the more solutions we find, and as a consequence we keep fast tracking our development. And that's what we're trying to do. You know, we're a new group that's come together. We're playing in a different way than what the players have played before. And when you do have a new game idea, you know, it takes time to develop and to master, and we're in that process now, but we're enjoying it. We feel really positive about what is to come. Five huge games, I think you've already alluded to, maybe 13 points in the first seven. If we can find the right performance, then we'll get the right result tomorrow, and then we'll be beyond 2 points a game, which over a whole season is something that we always look to strive for.
Moving forward to tomorrow when we face a struggling Swindon side, do you think it's important to focus on yourselves rather than worry about the opposition?
Well, I think we have to put all of our energy into ourselves. I think it'd be very difficult to predict exactly what Swindon are going to do. They've played many formations in the last 10 games. I think we've seen them in the 3-5-2, the 3-4-3, the 4-3-3 and the 4-2-3-1. Also on Saturday, the 4-4-2. They've obviously had a change of manager since. So we could waste a lot of time trying to predict what they're going to do, or we could put all of our energies into ourselves, and that's what we've done today. You know, we've worked on a couple of technical and tactical aspects from the game on Saturday, and we've worked really hard on our values and what we stand for as a group and our mentality and mindset. And I actually think some of the work we've done today has been really powerful, and I'm really looking forward to seeing a really good response tomorrow.
Ben Close was pulled out of Saturday's game because of a groin injury. Have you got any updates on how he's doing?
Yeah, he had a scan this morning, so we're just waiting for the outcome of the scan. He's certainly improved over the weekend, and he can't feel it now in everyday life. But before we get to the next step, now the inflammation has settled, we just need to see the severity of the injury. Sometimes you can get these sort of real delayed onset muscle soreness, which can actually happen through an accumulation of games, which probably Ben hasn't been used to this season, so he's body isn't conditioned for that. So we're hoping that it's that rather than maybe a grade one tear, which obviously would then lead to a couple of weeks on the sideline. But we have to wait for the results and once we know that, we'll be able to plan for what is next.
You spoke about the front four last week, and it was another frustrating one for them at the weekend. What work has gone in to support them ahead of tomorrow's game?
Well, I think the positives are that we're creating chances. We created a huge number of chances in the game against MK Dons, enough chances to win any football match. We didn't quite execute the final action, or sometimes the action before the final action. And that definitely areas that we can work on. We can also work on our positional attack once we get into the opposing half, of just being a little bit more patient. Maybe when we have Michael Jacobs, he makes the extra pass, and that sometimes extra pass can create the space to create the good chance. Sometimes we've just been a little bit too forceful with our attacking play and rushed some of our decision making and executions, and we just need to be a little bit calmer in the moment. And sometimes, you know, build up to creating a chance, and sometimes you work it on the right and you don't get the chance, and you have to swing it around and then work it on the left to try to create the space and the overloads to beat your opponent. And these are all things that we're working on every day in training, and we're confident with the players that we have. And you've got to remember, you know, huge challenge this for us. We've got lots gone against us with injuries and suspensions. There's many excuses we could make, but we know that excuses are for the weak, and that ultimately nobody cares. So what we'd rather do is see the challenge. It's getting bigger by the day. It's getting tougher by the day. We have four attacking players really at our disposal, so we can't give them a second rest, let alone a minute. But we're enjoying that. That to me is the bigger the challenge, the more exciting it gets. And we're working really hard with the boys to get the necessary work into them, and also the necessary recovery, so that we can refuel. And they're really hungry, and they're really determined to keep working hard and keep trying to improve on the performance. And we know that with that front four, we will always carry goal for it.
The pre-match thoughts of Danny Cowley there. And when we return, the three of us here will be turning our attention to Pompey's next game. Keep getting those text, tweets and emails in to us Blues fans. We've got quite a few coming in already. We'll get through those very, very shortly. But it's time now for a very quick break. We'll be back soon for more passionate footballing discussion. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour, supported this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Please ensure that if you must travel on public transport right now, you are wearing a face covering throughout your journey. Still to come tonight, we'll be previewing the midweek fixture between Swindon and Pompey at the County Ground. And to kickstart our look ahead to that one, we're going to hear a little bit more about tomorrow night's opponents. Conor Moseley has the lowdown on Swindon Town.
5 games remain this season for Pompey to get themselves into the playoff places. Up next, it's match day 42 of 46. The Blues are on the road to take on Swindon Town.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
After Saturday's surprise defeat at Stadium MK, Danny Cowley's side are going in search for their first win in four, having lost to Burton and MK and drawing with Crewe in their previous three league fixtures. This midweek clash serves as a great opportunity to get back to winning ways, bottom of the league and managerless Swindon Town are the next challengers.
Manager.
The Robins were managed by controversial figure John Sheridan, who took to the helm back in November following the departure of Richie Wellens to League Two, Salford. The 56-year-old, however, tendered his resignation at the weekend following a 4-1 defeat at Wimbledon, which left them rock bottom of the division with 4 games to play. Swindon had won just 8 of their 32 matches under John Sheridan, losing a whopping 20 fixtures in that period. Assistant manager Tommy Wright will take charge of the first team until the end of the season and will be helped along by the club's academy's head of coaching, Lee Peacock.
One to watch.
Forward-thinking midfielder Scott Twine is one to keep an eye on this week. The 21-year-old came up through the youth ranks at Swindon and has started to assert himself as one of the first names on the Swindon team sheet this season, despite spending the first half of the campaign on loan at Newport County. Twine, who wears the number 10 shirt, was recalled in January and made an immediate impact for the Robins in a 3-2 victory over Ipswich at Portman Road, a game in which he scored in. He's failed to play in just one of Swindon's previous 22 matches since his return, that a win over Wigan at the start of February. The young prospect has scored on 5 occasions for Swindon this season, including a brace at Fleetwood last month. He's often found partnering Brett Pittman up top.
Top scorer.
Jersey-born striker Brett Pittman is the leading scorer at Swindon with 8 league goals under his belt this season. The former Pompey forward joined Swindon at the start of the season, following being told he was surplus to Kenny Jackett's requirements at Fratton Park last summer. The 33-year-old scored 37 goals in 81 appearances during his time at Fratton Park and now wears the number 8 shirt for this week's opponents.
Current form.
The Robins are cemented to the foot of League One with just 37 points from 42 matches. They find themselves 7 points adrift of safety following a run of 5 consecutive defeats and 9 losses from their last 11 fixtures. Swindon have also conceded the most goals in the division with 78 shipped, 6 more than Rochdale, who've let in 72. The Blues could end up relegating Swindon this week. A Pompey win at the County Ground, followed by victories for Wigan and Wimbledon later that same evening, would condemn the Robins to League Two football next season. However, that wouldn't be confirmed until long after the full-time whistle, with this fixture, the only League One game of the night, kicking off at the earlier time of 6 p.m. Can the Blues pick up a much-needed victory? Or will the Robins pile more frustration upon the Cowleys? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
Connor Mosley with a close look at Swindon Town, Pompey's next opponents tomorrow night at the County Ground. But before we do move on to preview that game, just very quickly, some news breaking this morning at Fratton Park, who have Pompey have confirmed that Academy Manager Mark Kelly has tendered his resignation. And since that, Pompey have also confirmed the appointment of Greg Miller as the new Academy Manager at Fratton Park. And as reported by Will Rooney at the Portsmouth News, he understands that Greg Miller has been new Pompey Academy Manager, previously worked at Barnsley, Rangers and Hibernian. And also, to go along with this new restructure of the Academy and, you know, the kind of reshape of Pompey's outlook to transfers in the future and the way they go forward with business, Pompey head coach Danny Cowley has also told Andrew Moon, our commentator from BBC Radio Solent, that he will work with Roberto Gagliardi as the club's sporting director. And he also says it is a position the club needs. So to summarise, Pompey Academy manager Mark Kelly has resigned from his post after many years at the helm, and the club have appointed Greg Miller today as his replacement. And Danny Cowley's confirmed that a sporting director may be brought in the summer. Okay, looking ahead to tomorrow's game, then we're going to get to some text tweets and emails we've got coming into us this evening. Plenty to get through. Carolyn Hayling, she says 4-2-3-1 is not working for Pompey. I'd like to go for a 4-4-2, says Carol in Hayling. Graham Snow says congratulations to United Services. Keep the Wessex League flag flying, from Graham Snow at East Cowes, Victoria. And he also continues by saying all Pompey have to do is win their last 5 games and hope that is enough to get them into the playoffs. Gav Jones has got in touch tonight. He says, good evening, Jake. If Jack's red card is not rescinded, I think James Bolton should come in to the side at centre back tomorrow, as he filled in superbly the last time Jack served a suspension. Personally, I don't think he deserved to lose his place in the team after that. Mike T in super crispy bacon sarnie. Celsi, Mike T, come on, you're winding me up now. He says, evening, Jake. Where are the lads? What exactly is so super Peterborough about this proposed Super League, as it does sound potentially damaging to all tiers of English football. Play up Pompey, Mike T in Super Crispy Bacon, Sally Salcy. Mike, if I knew what was so super about it, I'll tell you, if we're being honest, nothing at all, apart from the money that is being put in the pockets of these clubs. But I'm not going to go off on the tangent again. Marcus Deakin says no time for excuses now. The players need to deliver. This is the same side that was top at Christmas under Kenny Jackett. The same side that won Bacowley's the first four games in charge. Don't tell me they're not good enough, because they've already proven they have what is needed to get out of this division. Marcus Deakin's on the emails there. We've got a comment on Facebook from Steve Shaft, who says the players are good enough. They just do not give a damn. The players, that is, says Stephen Shaft on Facebook. And a couple of score predictions as well. Phil Wills is going for a 2-0 win. And Stephen Shaft again saying, with Swindon losing their manager 3-1. And of course, Brett to score a goal for Swindon tomorrow night. Ben, we'll come straight into the Swindon preview with you. We've got a few minutes to talk about it. Swindon, rock bottom of the league. They've conceded the most goals in the division. They're on a poor run of form. And the manager has recently resigned. Does this all point to a Swindon win?
Well, you'd like to hope not. But, you know, anything can happen. I don't know. They don't look like a great side this season. And obviously, we breezed past them quite comfortably earlier this year. Yeah, I think you'd like to see us win it, but we don't ever make anything that easy for ourselves, so we'll have to see.
Yeah, and of course, tomorrow we're going to have to look out for a couple of players, Adam, Jack Payne in the side as well, and of course, former Pompey striker Brett Pittman. He's only scored 8 goals this season, but a struggling, you know, Swindon Town side. Not necessarily setting the world alight at Swindon this season, but as with every former Pompey player, certainly one you've got to keep quiet.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, obviously, you'll know some of the lads when he come or when we see him again tomorrow. So, you know, I guess there's a extra incentive for him to perform well. But if truth be told, this game couldn't come at a better time, really, for Pompey off the back of a couple of disappointing results. You like to think we'll cruise past it. Like Ben said, you never know with Pompey. Sometimes we do make things harder than they probably should be. But yeah, I think tomorrow should hopefully be reasonably play sailing, and hopefully we can get 3 points and get back on the Cowley momentum train again.
Pompey making things hard. Don't know what you're talking about, Adam. Jeff Harris on Twitter says the poor decision making in the final third of game that stems from Kenny's rigid style to start of play for the last 4 seasons, but now they're playing with freedom, they get confused, says Jeff Harris on Twitter. Scott Turnbull, he says this squad is simply not good enough. Many of these players' contracts are running down. You'd like to think they would want extensions. Certainly not playing like they want to extend. A new start needed in the summer. Certainly not for Cowley's fault. And Ian Chiverton says, we have had enough play in the final third to win the last 3 games. Just not clinical enough. Marquis is lacking confidence. Curtis wasteful. And William and Harness floating in and out of games. The thoughts of a few Pompey fans on social media there. Got a few more as well. Blake O'Neill says, after what has been a dark day for football, attention turns to Pompey after Sheridan stepped down after 9 losses from 11. Pompey couldn't be playing a team in worse form. The only problem is the new manager bounce, which sometimes happens. Nonetheless, we need 3 points. I'm going for a 3-1 win, says Blake O'Neill on Twitter. And Graham Stovold on Twitter, he says, hi Jake, I actually think we'll have a high scoring win against Swindon tomorrow, 4 or 5-0. I think we will get to a playoff final and win it. I think next year we'll be in a higher division, says Graham. Play up Pompey on Twitter there. Certainly a great opportunity for Pompey to bounce back tomorrow, Ben. Certainly not a record the Blues want to have above their shoulders. 4 games without a win.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, I think, like Adam said, it's a great chance to sort of bounce back, if you like, and maybe this could be the game that we start to see us pick up a bit of form again. Yeah, and as Graham said there, we'd like to be optimistic and say that we'll get the playoffs and hopefully win them, but yeah, can't count our chickens.
No. And of course, now, very quickly, Adam, the playoff run is now out of Pompey's hands after they were defeated, of course, at the weekend. And Oxford scored very late on to beat Gillingham in the late kickoff. Pompey are now 7th with 65 points, actually, with a game in hand on Oxford. I don't know what I'm talking about. However, Charlton below us in 8th. They are only 2 points behind with a game in hand on Pompey. So certainly teams have a couple of games in hand. One of those coming up for Pompey on Tuesday night. A big end to the season is needed. It's going to be tight, but it's not going to be easy. Pompey really need to kickstart with a win on Tuesday. Nothing less really will be acceptable.
No, absolutely. But the fact that it still remains doable, the fact that, you know, Oxford not got that game in hand over them. I know Charlton got a game in hand as well, but, you know, it's still doable and it's still there for the taking. You only need a couple of good results. You know, I think we can still do it personally. Whether we want to go up, where we want to wait, that's another story for another day. But yeah, let's see. Let's get a good running in and just push as hard as we can. And let's just see if we can just sneak in at the end there.
Yeah. Okay, let's get some score predictions from you lads, Finn. We'll start off with you, Ben. Pompey taking on Swindon tomorrow night. Match day number 42, not long of this season remaining. Bottom of the league, conceded the most goals, as we mentioned. Is this heading for a Pompey win? What are you going for?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be optimistic after the little blip in form. But yeah, I think I'm going for a 2-1 win.
Ben's going for a 2-1 win. How about you, Adam?
I'm going to go higher scoring because I generally think we can bounce back. I'm going to go for a 4-1 away win.
Ooh, and I'm going to go straight down the middle of that. I'm going to go for a 3-1 Pompey victory. Ben Chu, Adam Hillier, thank you both ever so much for joining me tonight. It's been a decent show, hasn't it? We've had a lot to talk about. thank you both and have a great weekend. Have a great week. It's only Monday. Great. Have a great week, lads.
Cheers, Jay. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers, lads. And Pompey are next in action very, very soon. It is a 6 o'clock kickoff tomorrow night at the County Ground. The Blues are travelling to Swindon Town. Match day number 42 of this League One season. A win is desperately needed if they want to get into the playoff positions. And all of the action will be live here on Express FM from 5:30.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey were beaten in Buckinghamshire on Saturday afternoon. MK Dons were 1-0 winners over the Blues.
And it's a penalty! Fraser steps forward left-footed and scores, sending McGilvery the wrong way.
Up next, Pompey travel to Swindon Town for another League One matchup. Join us for all the unmissable action tomorrow afternoon from 5:30.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Don't miss it. Match day number 42 of this League One season. The Blues are at Swindon Town, rock bottom of League One. Can Pompey get the win they desperately need to keep up with the pace of the top six? Find out from 5:30 tomorrow evening. The Soft Rock Show is coming up right after the news at 7 with Jeff and Abe. They've got the latest from the Sherlocks, Smashed Gladys, London Grammar and Maroon 5, plus a look back at events in music history. Scattering the Roots with Dan Ogre's returns from 9 o'clock this evening. He's here until 11 o'clock when we've got the Express Wind Down. Nothing but relaxing songs all night long through to the early hours of tomorrow morning. Mason Jordan returns with Portsmouth Breakfast from 7 a.m. He's got great songs, the latest Portsmouth travel, sport and news updates, and he's got the Rewind Year from 9 a.m. too, of course. Liam House is back from 10 with great songs all day long, and of course the latest on the roads, the travel, the sport, the news, everything you need to know on what is going on in our fantastic world. Ian James is back playing Who Am I from 1. He's got Victory Years again from 2 o'clock, playing just great songs from the 70s, 80s and 90s before James Percy returns at 4. Then from 5:30, Pompey Live returns with all the coverage from Swindon versus Pompey at the County Ground. But until then, Pompey fans and football fans all across the world, have a fantastic evening. Enjoy the rest of your night. Stay safe and play at Pompey. Good night.